This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 102. Time talking about saving, investing, and protecting all those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I am Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach.
And I'm Amanda, a corporate in-house lawyer and a real estate referral agent. And we're both so grateful you've joined us.
Yes, you are. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or the website at rockonthemoney.com. How are you doing, Amanda?
I'm well.
You caught me off guard. I love that you're part of that intro now. That's cool. I like it.
Well.
You're like a natural. Hey, this is like a part two of our previous episode. So if people are listening to us now and you missed 101, well, you'll have to go back there. You can do it after this one. We're just continuing a list that Amanda came up with. What do you got?
Well, I didn't come up with it. I just found it. So I'm sharing with all of you who maybe missed an article from, let's see, MoneyWise. So the link is in our show notes, but this is the top 34 money no-nos, according to Susie Orman. And everyone knows that I'm a fan of Susie Orman. I love her books. So I tend to dial in when I see articles with her advice. And sometimes we agree with them and sometimes we have a different point of view.
And that's fine. That's fine. So we have what? Where did we leave off last time?
Last time we left off, we finished number 20. So today we're going to start with 21 and there's 14 left.
Nice. Nice. Nice and digestible. All right. Let's go.
Yes. It was a to be continued.
Yes. The cliffhanger.
We left you all on the edge of your seats.
Yes. I'm sure. Apparently. Yeah.
Yes. Number 21. Don't take a tax refund.
What does that
mean? I know. If you're getting a tax refund, you're making one of the biggest mistakes out there because you've essentially had too much of your pay withheld for taxes and have basically just given the government an interest-free loan. So when you're owed a $2,400 refund, you've allowed yourself to be shortchanged $200 per month throughout the year.
Yep. And that $200 a month could have been gone back into that budget you've always talked about to pay off debt or cover the cost of groceries or something like that. Or better yet, invest.
Yeah, it's a big waste of money. Yeah. But surveys have shown that Americans love their tax refund.
I don't get it.
Yeah, you know.
Every time I post that, people attack me over that. I'll post those memes about, about getting a refund. And people get upset, legit upset.
Well, and the government knows this about people. That's why they're eager to do payroll withholdings. If you had to write a check to the government every single month to pay your taxes instead, you would feel that pain a lot more. And you would not be sending them extra each month just because then, I'll get back what I overpaid in a year.
Yep.
But because it's from a direct payroll deduction, then people don't feel that pain as much. And the government knows that.
And they get all excited when, then they brag about how much they're getting back. Like, you just showed me how poor you are with money.
Or with planning.
That's all you did. Yep. Anyway.
I mean, the goal is not to owe money at the end of the year. That's also not the goal. The goal is to be as close as possible to what you owe and just be making monthly payments towards that.
Oh, Amanda.
You wouldn't pay your landlord $200 extra each month, right? And then expect that in January they would give you a refund on what you overpaid in rent the year before.
But Amanda,
and then be excited about it.
Yeah, I'm being excited. But this year I owe a lot. I'm afraid to see how much I owe. It's just been that good of a year. And there wasn't a lot of things I do to avoid it. So there are some variables. They were supposed to take money out for taxes. They did not. I have this thing, that thing. I got 1099s. It's like, it's just the way it's going to be this year.
Yeah. Well, and just as a quick aside, for everyone who was receiving unemployment.
Yep.
This past year, hopefully you set aside some of that money for taxes each week because you will owe income tax on that money.
And here's the other thing to be careful about that before we go on is a lot of states gave people the options to have that the taxes taken out. People opted into that, but then the state didn't do it. So be aware that all that money that you got will be taxed. If they didn't take it out and they were supposed to and they didn't,
you're still responsible.
You're going to be responsible for that. So just be aware of that. That has happened to a lot of people. So
state and federal, depending on what state you're in. All right, here's another one we've talked about before. Number 22, don't waste money on coffee.
Oh, this is yours.
As I sit here drinking a cup of coffee.
Yes, I drink coffee too, yeah.
Your daily stopped, but this is not about coffee, period. It's about stopping to pick up a cup of coffee at your favorite coffee shop like Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts or your local coffee place. If it's your habit, then you need to break it. It is one of those things that fall into the category of a want and not a need, and it's costing you a ton of money. So according to Susie, you're peeing $1 million down the drain as you are drinking that coffee. The math that she follows, if you're spending $100 a month, that's money that could grow instead in a Roth IRA to roughly $1 million after 40 years, assuming a 12% return. Now, if you think back, last episode, we talked about how everyone could probably find $100 a month in their budget. Well, here you go. $100 a month was just found buying coffee.
There you go.
But if you love coffee, there are plenty of other options to get that fixed without spending that type of money. And we did a full Savvy Savings segment on coffee. And the key takeaway there is make your coffee at home.
Right. Right. Yeah, there is different qualities about making it at home. Like I recently, because the pandemic, a lot of the shelves were empty. So I bought, the only thing was sitting there. There is definitely a difference between, you ready for this one? Mm-hmm. There's definitely a difference between great value coffee, which is the Walmart can, as opposed to McCafe, which I do like the McCafe brand, is the McDonald's coffee.
Yeah, my husband claims the same thing. I can't tell the difference. I guess because I don't drink coffee very much.
Yeah, no, there was definitely a difference, but it was the only coffee available and I had to get coffee. So it is what it is.
Yeah. Again, when you're working yourself towards your financial goals, every penny counts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number 23, don't retire owing money on your home. So a survey from Mortgage Banker American Financing found that 44%, that's nearly half, of Americans in their 60s and 70s are still paying off a mortgage.
Holy crap.
That is so not
44%?
Okay. Yeah, that's nearly insane. Half. 60s and 70s.
Why?
Because the American dream, part of that is the American way of having a monthly mortgage payment, right?
Or,
and people, it's just so normalized that people don't realize they can live a better life.
But there's also that thing you said in the last episode. They're also trying to impress people with a house they have that they can't afford.
Or they've taken out second and third mortgages, or they've done HELOCs to, you know, spruce up their kitchen. All sorts of reasons people still have mortgages left at that age.
Gotta get rid of that.
It's also an albatross that affects mental health, right? So if you're going to stay living in a house for the rest of your life, pay off that mortgage as soon as you possibly can. Without a mortgage, you're going to have financial security in retirement. So if you work until you're 70 and you use excess emergency savings and do whatever else it takes, get that house paid off.
Yep.
How much wealth have you built, Craig, since you paid off your home?
I'm not going to say it on here. All I can say is, there is a weird feeling when you don't owe money.
Yes.
When nobody has control over me. I'm all about having that freedom where no one out there can take anything away from me. Well, they can sue me, but that's the umbrella coverage. But you know what I'm saying? Nothing can be repossessed, taken away or anything unless I'm like sued or something like that. I am free of all that. And the stress level of that is like, I'm a different person now that was like 10 years ago. Completely different.
Are.
I'm away from my job, which really messed my head up. Stress. All that. I am a completely different person. 100%. Mm-hmm. And I feel bad about the way I used to be. When you have debt, stress of job, yada, 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 and everything else going on. If you can get rid of all that, is just amazing feeling.
Yeah. So everyone out there listening, close your eyes for a minute, unless you're driving. Please don't close your eyes. Close your eyes and imagine what your monthly check writing would be if you had no car payment, no mortgage, no credit card bills. The only thing you had to pay were things like water, electricity, put gas in your car, maybe. Those bills are a very small percentage of what a normal American is paying in bills each month.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So if those were the only things you had to pay on a monthly basis, imagine, like really in high definition, imagine what your life will look like without those extra payments coming out of your bank account every month.
And if the pandemic was not going on, Amanda, I would definitely not be streaming video games. I would be traveling like I was someone out of my mind.
Yes.
Seriously.
And you'd be taking me with you, right?
You better get Matt's. I'll bring Matt with you. How about that?
Yeah.
That makes it legit. Yeah. No, I mean, I could literally fly anywhere around the world.
Yes.
Well, I also work for an airline. I get that for free and take people with me. But
yes. Craig and Amanda on tour.
Yeah, but the point is when you don't have any, think of everything you could do, anything you wanted to do. All you got to do is get out of debt. It's it. It literally is like
that. Yeah, and I'm not downplaying this. Like, I know it's hard. It's very hard.
We've both been there.
But you need to normalize that feeling instead of what Americans have normalized as it's normal to have a car payment and a mortgage.
You know what? And you just said a word in there. Americans. Americans are the ones doing this.
Yes.
Somehow, corporate America, I'm not being anti-corporate America because I make money from corporate America because of stocks. But they have somehow got in people's heads, 0% financing is okay. No money down is okay. All these, they've made it so easy to do things that we should not be doing. And that's the problem. And there's no financial literacy in schools. None of that. So we just think it's normal. It's not. Anyway.
All right. So that's
our soapbox.
Soapbox for the day. But I'm serious. You need to visualize it because what you visualize and you really put a picture to, that's what you're going to have as your reason when you're making the hard decisions each month. All right. Number 24, don't let your wallet get sloppy.
Actually, I'm looking at a picture that Amanda sent me of this article. Mm-hmm. Mine's not that thick, but
it reminds me of the Costanza wallet. Do you remember from Seinfeld? Really
I got like dollar bills hanging out. I'm like,
he kept cramming his receipts in and then it exploded everywhere. he had back problems because his whole body was like shifted sideways.
That's a real thing, by the way. Having a thick wallet in your will mess up your back. That's a legit thing.
Ladies don't experience this as much, but we get shoulder pain from the heavy purses.
You know, fanny packs were so much easier in the 80s than having the wallet.
I know.
Good.
I know. I think they're coming back. Anyway, there's nothing too profound about this piece of advice. Orman's literally talking about keeping your wallet organized and knowing exactly what's in it. So according to her, she says it's a picture of your life. It especially reflects how you think about money and manage your finances. So crumpled up bills stuffed in any old way show disrespect and lack of accountability. So Craig, how do you organize your wallet? I'm just curious.
I literally only have a couple of cards in there, a driver's license, and some emergency money. I don't use I know this is going against a lot of things. I try not to use the cash that's in there. But then again, I normally don't buy anything in stores. If I do, it's like a major thing. Like I got to go to Best Buy or Lowe's or something. I don't use the cash in my wallet. I use a debit card. But the cash is literally my emergency because sometimes electricity is down. You need gas. I mean, there's certain things that you need cash for. All the time.
Yeah.
But remember, I'm debt-free, people. It really don't have hardly anything. As a matter of fact, I keep leaving my house without my wallet during the pandemic because I never leave the house. I'm like, oh, crap. What did I do with that wallet? I never use it, but it's just keep a couple of cards in. My membership cards at Costco and stuff like that. It's not, doesn't hardly have anything in it. Normally, I do everything online.
And Matt carries a money clip with just one little like sleeve for like the essential cards. Yep. And my wallet's organized. When I was doing the baby steps and using the envelope system, instead of using envelopes, I had like a nicer wallet, but I put in index card separators with labels on them so that my money, my cash, was divided in different sections in my wallet. So I knew which section had money left in it. I always keep my cash organized in by denomination and all facing the same direction. I'm super OCD about that.
Yeah, I do that too. I do that. Yep.
And Susie's slim wallet, she has her driver's license, health insurance cards, which nowadays you can usually have an app with your health insurance carrier and you just have your card on your phone.
Yep.
She keeps exactly $170 in cash, neatly arranged by denomination, and three credit cards with perks that suit her lifestyle. And now again, we don't really recommend having the credit cards, but... But her amount of cash is no accident. The digits 1, 7, and 8 add up to 8. And in Asia, 8 is the number of wealth. So she's a little superstitious. I have my own financial superstition. I refuse to put my purse on a floor. It's always hanging or on a counter or table or something because there's this old superstition. I think it comes from like Cuba or Latin America. I picked it up in Miami. In any case, that if you put your purse on the floor, money flies out of it. I don't know if there's anything to it, but I'll tell you, since I stopped putting my purse on the floor, my financial situation has really taken off. So I'm not usually superstitious, but everybody. I'm not going to chance it.
I keep exactly $300 in my wallet at all times. Yeah. Cash. So she has what, 170?
170.
Once I do 300. When I travel, when I did disaster response around the world, that was the amount that we always took with us when, you know, when you need cash because you're going to earthquakes, you just can't use credit cards. So I've always just had that same mindset, $300. That's where that came from.
So number 25, don't buy a home you can't afford. We've talked about this before, being house poor. Being able to afford a rent payment doesn't mean you can afford a house with a similar mortgage payment. That's the big mistake that many people make, she says, is that they're paying $1,500 a month for rent and they go out and look for a home and they can get a home for $1,500 a month mortgage. But the cost of moving in and keeping up a home over the long term far exceed those in renting a place, and you need to get the best mortgage rate you can. So keep in mind that you need to factor in not only monthly mortgage payments, but also the down payment, closing costs, initial repairs, moving expenses, and ongoing maintenance costs. Like Craig has said, you know, you're going to have to budget a couple thousand dollars a year to save up for things like new roofs, new AC units, other big capital expenses.
Here's the common thing going back. You said about everyone feels like they have to own a house as opposed to just renting. In documented history, the S&P 500 has performed much greater than real estate historically. So people think, oh, I'm going to make more money by taking money out of my 401k. I'm going to buy a house with it.
Yeah.
No, you'll make more in the 401k than you will in that real estate. Now, there will be certain circumstances of a hot market. But now, again, you're timing a market. And once it's hot, what happens after that? It ends up being a dump market, too, for real estate. So... You will make more in your investing in a 401k or IRA or something like that than you will in real estate.
Yep. And number 26, don't risk your retirement to pay for your kids' college. I say this all the time. So she's incredulous over reports that saving for retirement is taking a backseat to saving for college. I feel the same way here. T. Rowe Price found in 2018 that 74% of parents put the higher priority in putting money away for their kids' higher education. And millennials are actually the worst offenders. So your 20s and 30s are when saving in retirement gives you the biggest advantage because your money will have decades to grow. And instead, people are putting money in 529s and savings account for their kids. This is the top of the list of what you should be doing to make sure that you are not a financial burden to them is making sure you're taking care of yourself first.
You mean like if their plane is going down, I put my mask on first and then I put it on the person next to me? Huh. That sounds familiar. Well, yeah.
Number 27.
Anyway,
don't skip on car insurance, Craig.
Ooh. Well, some states will not let you skip on it, so...
Yeah, if you have a loan on your car, you're definitely not allowed to skimp on it. But if it's paid off, you also shouldn't skimp on it. Policies include three key areas for coverage: for bodily injury, total bodily injury liability, and property damage. That's what people call full coverage. And the minimum amounts in many states are, you know, defined as like $25,000, $50,000, $25,000. So those are the minimums, but that's not really enough.
No.
It would be a financial disaster to pay out of pocket for serious injuries, loss of wages, rehab, and such for other drivers and their passengers if you caused an accident. So, of course, we all know auto insurance premiums are high, but working with an agent who can comparison shop the rates for you, or find the best deal, or there are plenty of apps out there that'll help you comparison shop. And you should be shopping at least once a year for the best rates, because rates change.
Right. And you actually can pay more by staying with the same company than if you switch.
That's true.
The companies know that. That's a known thing.
Yep.
All right, Amanda, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with number 28, and we'll finish up the list. This is a great list. I can't wait to get back. We got the best ones coming up. So
great way to kick off the new year.
That's right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
Rock stars, Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to three qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
With Amanda and Craig. Don't forget, check out our website at rockonthemoney.com for a bunch of, my voice like cracked there like a teenager. Did you just hear that?
I heard.
It's from all that talking I do on live streaming. I just did like, 6 hours of streaming, and now I'm doing a podcast. It was probably not a good idea. Go to rockonthemoney.com for all of our previous episodes. Plus, we're available literally everywhere. That I can say.
Everywhere podcasts are heard.
Yeah, on your devices in your home. I think pretty much everyone has a device in their house by now. Do you have Alexas, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I have Googles. Yeah, we're on there. Just ask it to play a latest episode of our podcast, and it will pop up, pop up. So you have no excuse.
But if you have like a show or, what is it, the Hub, the Google Hub, then our pretty faces will probably pop up too.
Actually, it does pop up. And now the Alexa has a display model as well. I think it's a 7-inch screen too. But no, it comes up with our album art. Has the 8-inch. Title.
I have it. It's the show.
Oh, the show. That's it. There you go. So no, it's great. I listen to a lot of podcasts in my office that way, or YouTube TV, and love it. Love that stuff. All right. Where do we leave off? 28, right?
Yes.
All right.
28, don't let holiday spending get out of control. So we just finished the holidays. But even people who normally spend responsibly take complete leave of their senses when holidays roll around. And that's usually because of a lack of planning. So you should be dividing your total gift giving budget by the number of people on your list and sticking to the maximum per person. You can challenge yourself not to buy any gift with a credit card. You could use cash for it. That's what we do. I save up money year round into a cash bucket, and then I use that for my holiday spending. And again, your friends and relatives aren't going to be impressed if they find out that the gift that you bought them, you bought beyond your means.
No.
Number 29, don't keep kids in the dark about credit. So there are reports that millennials are avoiding credit cards, which is, in my opinion, a great thing, right? Mm-hmm. But Susie says, I'm wholeheartedly on board with preferring a debit card, but everyone also needs to have a credit card and use it responsibly. And I think that's fair as well.
Yeah, I do.
Yep. She thinks that parents who don't teach kids how to use credit do them a disservice. I agree. After all, the credit bureaus factor spending and payment history into credit scores, which determines who gets a car, house, or small business loan, and the kind of interest rates they pay. She also recommends teaching good credit use in one of three ways, either adding your teen to one of your existing accounts, co-signing a low-fee, low-limit card, which I don't feel great about that, or having your kid apply for a secured credit card that requires a deposit. So I agree with two out of the three.
Yep. No, I agree with you on that. Here's the other thing I like to do. Have kids see the electric bill, see the water bill, and understand that money doesn't grow on trees, that all these costs are going on. So when they come ask for, hey, can I get a PlayStation 5? I'm like, well, you show them how the budget works and where all the money goes. You know, there's a lot of cost to living. And if they don't understand that all this stuff goes on, but once they see that, it really opens their eyes, in my opinion.
Yeah. Number 30, stop feeling sorry for yourselves. Go out there and create the financial life that is waiting for you. Fear, Susie believes, is often the only thing standing between you and a pay raise, a better job, shrewd investments, and other financial goals. You most likely are your own financial obstacle, and you have to remove your fears from wanting to create more. What do you think, Craig?
Well, I don't want people to say, well, my fear is day trading. Maybe I should just go take that course and start doing it. No, that's not what she's talking about.
You want to change your mindset about money, pay off debt, start getting rich.
And if you can get a better job that pays better, go for it. Don't just sit there
and stop thinking you're not smart enough or you were never good with numbers or things like that. That's how you're getting in your own way. Number 31, don't ever take out a payday loan. If you want to get a rise out of Susie Orman, just ask her how she feels about payday loans.
Disgusting. Craig. It should be illegal.
Yeah.
It should be.
It's the biggest mistake people can make. Payday loans are tempting because they're relatively easy to get when you're strapped for cash. However, they're offensively expensive. The typical APR is 400%. By comparison, credit cards is around 17%. So 400% versus even 17% is outrageous, but 400% in interest each year, that's insane. So you can see how if you're earning, 1% interest on your savings account and paying 400% interest on a loan, you're working backwards.
You know what I noticed in December, and I'm still seeing it here in January? I'm seeing more of these online, these commercials on TV for payday loans. But it's not just a physical building down the street. It's a company, you need cash now, because the holidays are here and people just realized how much they spent. Now you get desperate, you start going for those media things, and then you end up with 400% or less.
Yes. Or the other thing I hate is when people are taking advances on their tax refund. Same type of thing.
Yeah, TurboTax, all those guys offer that. Mm-hmm. Or H&R Block. And I mean, everybody, right. I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but they make it available to you.
And the fine print, it's a loan. So be wary.
Yeah.
Number 32, don't become a landlord. So the return of the house flipping craze makes Susie nervous. Even blazing hot markets inevitably cool down. And we saw this in the late 2000s. If you can't sell a flip house at a profit, you may have to rent it out. And being a landlord isn't as glamorous as it looks on HGTV.
Really?
No. Yeah. Remember, the landlords have to replace toilets, keep all critters at bay, let in tenants who lock themselves out, manage all those little nits and picks that people raise because they don't have to pay for them themselves.
However, this can also be a good thing to do if you have the right management company, you have the right properties, you get a low price that has at least 20%. Equity on it is right off the bat. I mean, as long as you can do it, you gotta know what you're doing. It's not, and you're a landlord.
Yes. And but the other advice she gives, which I think is great, is don't do it. If you really want to be a landlord and you think it's a great way to make money, I'm not dead set against that. But she advises you shouldn't do it unless your emergency fund can cover at least 8 months worth of mortgage payments. And I think that's fair.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm in on that.
33, just don't sell stocks, period. So from her personal experience, in 1997, she invested around $5,000 in Amazon.
This is a great example.
She sold the stock a few years later and quadrupled her money, which that sounds great, right? However, the shares would be worth millions today. It makes me sick to even tabulate it, she told CNBC.
Yeah, but how would she know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy. Hindsight is what?
Yeah, 2020.
So, I mean, we could all say that about anything.
Like, yeah.
I mean, I remember buying stuff from Amazon back then. I was buying stuff from Amazon when it was called Blue. I can't remember what the name was before it was called Amazon. But I bought stuff back in the 90s from them. I never thought it would be where it is today. That's so easy to go back. It's like, oh, I wish. Look at Microsoft.
Yeah. Yep.
It's now
so investing in individual stocks isn't our favorite game plan, right? But people who play the market should at least do extensive research on companies they're interested in. According to her, Google, Facebook, and others are expected to retain their competitive edge for years to come, which makes sense. If you do buy, make sure to hold. You keep a great stock forever.
Right. As long as it's a great stock, like Apple, Amazon. These companies are not good. I'm a big tech guy. You know that. Tech stocks I'm in are the big guys. The big guys own everything. The government can split them up all they want. They ain't going anywhere. It might be in different pieces, but still going forward. We're still in the early ages of AI and cloud. There's still plenty of time to grow. So I'm all in on that stuff.
We made it to the end, Craig. Yes. Number 34. Last but not least, don't let vacation time go unused. So she's all for taking vacations. She's the first to say everybody needs a recharge now and then, especially people who intend to work until they're 70. Saying no to a trip you can't afford is a good thing, but there's no excuse for not using your vacation time, and you don't have to spend a ton of money to enjoy it. Unplug from work and do something that gives you pleasure, like day trips, a home project you never got around to. There are so many ways to step out of your demanding work routine without spending money. And you'll be more productive and engaged in the job, which can, of course, lead to better job satisfaction and potentially advancement.
Totally agree. I mean, you and I both live in great areas where it's easy to do a staycation.
Yes.
You're in Florida, for Pete's sake.
I know.
With palm trees. This is where people come. I know. And I'm in the Washington, D.C. area, which we have everything from mountains to beaches to ski resorts to, I mean, there's everything here. I mean, there's anybody comes here and says, oh, I have nothing to do. Are you kidding me? There's everything to do here. Just like down where you're at. So you don't have to go to Hawaii.
You don't.
No.
Yeah.
However, I can go there for free right now if I wanted. There's just nothing to do there when you get there right now during the pandemic.
You have to quarantine and all that.
Yeah, you sit in your hotel room. That sounds like a great time. So I just sit at home. That sounds great. All right. That was great. Thank you, Amanda.
All right.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.